G'day team Harps, hope you are great. So this is an unofficial podcast, no extra cost, free from me to you. You won't get billed for this one, or anyone obviously, just for those new listeners who are going, fuck what, there's a billing system? No, I'm being silly. So I'm recording this in my office, which is considerably less noise-proof, soundproof than my studio. Talking into my earpiece, not a microphone, so you might hear barking dogs and cars and humans talking outside or papers shuffling on my desk, so I apologise in advance for that. This, I don't know, this could go for 10 minutes or 2 hours, don't think it'll go for 2 hours. I just wanted to talk to you about something that constantly comes up and I've feel like we need to have a conversation. Maybe I need to have a conversation about, nobody else does maybe, but I need to have a conversation about, and I think some of you will find it interesting and relevant, and that is obviously, as you would have gleaned by the title of this podcast, is the science of being offended, or how being offended happens or works and what it means. And you know, I just wanted to open the door on that because it's, for me, as somebody who has a, not a massive audience, but I have a moderately big audience. So I think on my public page, I have 5,000 friends and 25,000 plus followers. So that's 30,000 people. And then on my, my business page, I can't remember, I haven't got it in front of me, but maybe 20 odd thousand, that's 50,000. And then on Insta, I have heading towards 20,000, might be nearly 19, I think, and then a few on some other things. But give or take, I've probably got around 70,000 people who follow me in some shape or form across my socials, as the kids call them. And one of the challenges is when you are a teacher or a coach or a mentor or a deep thinker and you share those thoughts and ideas and strategies and stories in a public forum, is that every person that reads you, sees you, hears you, considers your thoughts, ideas, stories, etc., every individual obviously has their own set of beliefs and values and standards and expectations and fears and ideas about what is right and wrong and what's funny or offensive, what's relevant or rude, what's worth considering, what's not worth considering, and so on. So when you think that just one person has all of those things, then you times it by 70,000. Well, the chance of somebody finding something that I write, the chance of everybody finding, now let's say 70,000 people are not going to read my stuff, not one. Even if we say 10% might read, let's even go smaller. Let's go 1%. Let's say 1% of my, let's say I'm just writing here, I'm thinking this as I go. Let's say 1% of my followers read something I write or listen to something I say. So what? That's 700 people. Now, so I share a story, an idea, a thought. And this came off the back of something that I shared last night. And it doesn't matter what it was. And this is in me, this is in no way me being defensive or trying to explain away something. This is me thinking about how we think. This is just opening the door once again on metacognition, the way that we create our own reality, the way that we find something funny or not funny, offensive or hilarious, or and all of those things. So you think about, so I share something, let's say as little as 1% of my followers read that thing. So that's still 700 people. Now let's say 98% of those people think that what I shared is, you know, it's somewhere between, oh, that's reasonable, that's okay, and at the other end of the scale, that's amazing, that's powerful, that's relevant, that's helpful, that's funny, that's insightful, whatever. So somewhere between, don't really care too much, Harps, and that's valuable. But let's say even as little as 2%. So 1% of 700 is 7, so 2% is 14. So let's say 2% of the 1% that might read my stuff, 2% get really offended, or they disagree strongly, or those words evoke a really strong emotional reaction or response. So 14 out of 100, which means 686 don't get offended, 14 do. 2% of the 1%, if you know what I'm saying. So that's 14 people who find what I said marginalizing, negative, unhelpful, offensive. And somebody said something like they felt like my words were shaming them or something like that. Now, I'm not saying they were wrong, by the way. I'm not disagreeing. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have felt that or that I'm right, they're wrong. I'm not talking about right or wrong here. I'm talking about where does this experience of I am offended or I am amused or I am entertained or I am enlightened or I am inspired, what is the cause of that? Like, where does it come from? Because the thinking is quite often these words are offensive. This idea is offensive. This suggestion is offensive. This paragraph is offensive. This whiteboard message is offensive. Well, then, why are most people not offended? Now, I'm not saying that the people that are offended are wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying people are going to be offended no matter what. The question is, where does the offense come from? Is the offense, I am offended, is it caused by the external stimulus? The words, the whiteboard, the idea, the concept, the story, the message. Is that the cause of the offense? Or is the cause of the offense my thinking? My thinking. What's the cause of someone's laughter? Is it that the joke is hilarious, so they're laughing because of the joke? Because the person next to them is not laughing at the joke. The person next to them thinks it's stupid. And then the person next to them thinks the joke is distasteful. And then the person further along thinks it's the funniest thing that they've ever heard in their life. So four people, one day, one situation, one comedian on stage perhaps sharing one silly thought, idea in the context of a comedy club, and we've got four different responses and four different experiences. And so when one is saying this is hilarious, well, that may be true for the one, but not for the four or not for the hundred. Or when one is saying this is offensive, that may be true for the one. It may be true for five in the room. It may be true for 10 in the room and not true for 90 in the room. So the challenge we're presented with in sharing thoughts and ideas and stories and beliefs and values in a public forum is that the only person who thinks like you is you, as in the only person who thinks all the time, 100% of the time, exactly like you is you. And I take full, no, I don't take responsibility. I fully acknowledge that people will, I take full responsibility for what I write, but I don't take full responsibility, good or bad, for people's reactions to what I write, because I can't control people's reactions. It's like when people come to me at the opposite end of the scale and say, you changed my life. And I have it happen a lot. And I say, I didn't change your life. Even though they're complimenting me, even though they're saying something incredibly nice and supportive and glowing, they're actually doing themselves a disservice and misrepresenting or overestimating my influence. I say, you know what? That day where I shared those thoughts and ideas, when you were at that workshop or that camp or that seminar, there were hundreds of other people there and they didn't do what you did. They all heard what I said, but you did something with what I said and you created, you made the decision, you did the work, you got uncomfortable, you rolled up your sleeves, you created the outcome, you are responsible for that success, not me. So too, when I say something where my intention, and clearly my intention is not everyone's experience, but it's the same with you, your intention is not everyone's experience, perhaps not anyone's experience sometimes, same with me. when my intention, and it is always this when I'm operating in this space of social media, my intention is to help or encourage or support or to enlighten or to stimulate or to provoke action, provoke discussion, provoke thought. My intentions are good. I understand the outcome is not always good. I understand that. I'm completely aware. And I'm also completely aware that I'm flawed and I'm probably as fucked up as anyone I help. And I'm okay with that. And I've got issues and I make mistakes and I get things wrong and I change my mind. So this is not about who's good or not good, who's right or who's wrong. This is about the way that we think. And one of the problems right now is that we are so emotional and we are so defensive and everyone wants to be right and everyone wants to point the finger and nobody wants to be wrong. And we talk about being open-minded and we talk about being objective. But when it comes down to it, so often it's the idea I am objective is not the reality in the real world. I like the idea of being objective. I like the idea of being open-minded. But the truth is that nobody is really completely objective or open-minded because everybody is a human and the human experience is a subjective one. I am always looking at everything. So this is me. This is me expressing my humanity and my faults and my flaws. I am always looking at every situation, circumstance, encounter, conversation, challenge, problem, opportunity, every event in my life, I am always processing it through the filter that is my mind. That is the filter that has been shaped and programmed and contorted and twisted and conditioned since I was 0 years old up until now. So every day of my life, I have my mind, that is my processing center, my internal headquarters, that has been influenced and programmed to be what it is now. And what it is now is my mind, my processing center, the window through which I view and understand and label the world around me and the experiences in that world around me. That is a byproduct of my life. So that is my fears, my likes and dislikes, my issues, my challenges, my strengths, my weaknesses, my passion, my faith, my journey. It's a reflection of all of that. And I need to understand when I say that thing is offensive, or when I say that thing is funny, or when I say that thing is enlightening, or that thing is hilarious, or that thing is inappropriate, or that thing is right, or that thing is wrong, I'm fully aware that that is just my perspective. It is just my perspective. It is not a universal truth. And so I share that. And even sharing this, you know, the funny thing is with this message, there will be people who go, fuck harps, that makes sense. And it's just, it's, yeah, that resonates. I get it. I'm starting to understand the inability that we have to truly be objective and to truly get out of the echo chamber that we live in. Sorry about that truck going past. And to truly understand what confirmation bias is. Confirmation bias being that psychological place that many of us inhabit where we only pay attention to things that support what we already think or believe or embrace or live. And the challenge for us to really grow, I believe, is to be able to recognize our own prejudice, recognize our own insecurity, recognize our own fear, and to acknowledge the fact that maybe the way that I think, maybe the way that I process the world around me, maybe the way that I label things, that is offensive, that is inoffensive. You are a pig. You are amazing. You are funny. You are stupid. I am this. He is that. Whatever. Maybe that is just a byproduct of my limited view of the world. And I have to acknowledge that with me all of the time, with myself. I realize this is just, I'm just a guy who sits with interesting people and has conversations. I'm just a guy who stands on a stage and shares thoughts and ideas and stories with people. And my agenda is to help people. That wasn't always my agenda. My agenda was to make money, build a business, build a brand. I'm still interested in those things, but I'm less interested in those things than helping people find their purpose and tap into their potential and find that place of calm and to get out of the overthinking and out of the anxiety and into the joy and into the passion and into the fun and into the journey that perhaps they're meant to be traveling or the road they're meant to be traveling. Somebody left a comment recently, and it was something like, "You made me feel," I won't say, but what it was negative. I can't even remember. It might have been, "You made me feel uncomfortable," or "You made me feel shamed," or something like that. And I respect that person's comment, totally respect it. But the question I have in my head is, how can I make you feel a certain way? Because if I was responsible for people's feelings, then I'd be responsible for all of the people that read my stuff. And then all of, if the shame that you felt or the marginalization or whatever it was, I can't remember the term, but the negative experience you had, if that was caused by me, then why didn't it happen to everyone? And people, even this question, people go, oh, you know, but it's a fucking good question. Like if not just me, anyone, but if we're labeling somebody, if the moment that we say, again, this is my belief, my thinking, the moment that we say, "You made me feel a certain way," then what you're saying is, I'm in control of your feelings, you're not. I'm in control of your mental state. I'm in control of your reactions. And that's just not true. Just like nobody makes me feel anyway. I might feel a certain way around people, or I might react a certain way, or I might think certain things around people and what they say and what they do, but nobody made me that way. That is my personal reaction. That is my personal response based on my internal self-talk and my stories and my experience and my worldview. Those reactions, which are all different, are self-created. And this bothers people because we don't want this feeling that I'm in now. Now, let's put to one side people with mental illness, okay, and depression and PTSD and all that. I understand the trauma that's around that. But I'm not talking about mental illness right now. I'm talking about just the way that we, the majority of us who interact on social media and have these conversations and read things and listen to things, the way that we all by ourselves create an experience around a stimulus, the stimulus being a whiteboard post, a video, a comment left by somebody or whatever that is. At some stage, we need to say, where is my reality, my offense, my joy, my curiosity, my anxiety around this thing, my overthinking because of that thing, my resentment of that thing, my inspiration because of those words or that video? Where does this, what's the cause? What's the cause? Is this about my response or is it about the thing? Is it about the external stimulus that I break down internally and give meaning and value and power? Because if the cause of the joy or the offense or the pain or the pleasure or the happy or the sad, if the cause was the external thing, then everyone would have the same response. Everyone would find that thing offensive. Everyone would find that thing funny. Everyone would find that thing interesting. Everyone would find that thing valuable. But we know that that's not the case. We know that one word can create a fucking, just like fucking, there's the word, a massive range of responses from complete disgust to complete amusement and delight, depending on the listener and depending on the way the listener breaks that down and gives it meaning and value. I don't know where I was going with this, but this is just where I was going. I just wanted to talk about it. And I think it's a conversation I'm even interested to hear what responses there are to this, because I'm pretty sure someone will find a way to get bothered about this. But I'm okay with that. I'm expecting it. That's not me being defensive. That's me being practical. One of my lecturers at uni 100 years ago said, his name's Paul Callery, the great Paul Callery, played for St Kilda and Melbourne in the VFL/AFL. And he said, if you don't want to offend anyone, Mr. Harper, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing, and stand for nothing. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you that, you know, you need to share your thoughts and ideas without overthinking. Yes, we want to be courteous, and we want to be empathetic, and we want to be kind, and we want to be aware. I agree. Believe it or not, my intention, or my platform when I'm sharing with people to help them, is really to come from a place of love, to come from a place of kindness and service and empowering others. That is my mission. That is what I am trying to do. But one of the problems, I believe, is that we think that always needs to be wrapped in a little neat box with a pink ribbon or a blue ribbon or whatever fucking color ribbon on top of it. Let's not find something else to worry about. And it's got to sound good, and it's got to be fluffy, and it's got to be encouraging, and it's got to be supportive, and it's got to be warm and fuzzy. And the truth is that just fucking doesn't help people all the time. Sometimes it's appropriate. Sometimes the hug and the back rub and the cheer squad and the you know, the pink ribbon on the bloody blue present, is that's exactly what we need. But sometimes what we need is a kick in the ass. Sometimes what we need is a reality check. Sometimes what we need is to look in the mirror and go, is the problem the external thing, or is the problem my thinking? Is the problem that guy, or is it me? Is the problem that girl, or me? Is it the problem that philosophy, or is it me? And even if perhaps somebody's thoughts or ideas are flawed or they are problematic, which happens, of course it happens, but even then we still have the ability to control our reaction, our personal response. There are a lot of things that get said and done that I personally disagree with and think not very much of, but they don't bother me. Those things don't bother me. I don't waste time or energy. I don't lose sleep over it. I don't get angry. I don't get bitter. I don't get resentful. I don't want to jump on the old keyboard and share some vindictive, vitriolic fucking message. I don't, because it's just not a good use of my time. It's not a good use of anyone's time. I want to be the light in the darkness, not the darkness in the light. I want to be that person that helps and encourages and supports, but I also want to be the person who says what he thinks, who does what he thinks, who shares his ideas and values and beliefs. And I know that that's going to bother some people sometimes. Anyway, team, that is that. Hope you have a good morning, evening, arvo, and take care, be good, and I'll talk to you soon.